the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with our good friends at ASA Figuette Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, it's time to certainly look at what has happened in the last couple of days. Congratulations to the Trinbago Knight Riders for winning the CPL as far as the men concerned. And yes, the Barbados Royals are winning the women. And in fact, already we've got the captain online. She's got limited time, so we're going to get to her very, very soon. And we hope to touch base with the head coach of the winning Barbados Royals. We're talking of Ryan Hines. We hope a little bit later on to talk to the manager of the Trinbago Knight Riders, Mr. Colin Board. I know they've got a big reception. The Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago has invited the team there this evening, so we're going to be hoping to certainly make contact with him. Sad news, the death of the legendary Dickie Bird at 92. April 19, 1933, 76 one-day international, 66 test matches, MB 1986, OB 2012. I found our very good friend Steve Buckner, the famous umpire as well. Interesting, Mr. Buckner actually had a couple of matches in terms of the World Cup, having been the man to be a part of the finals, incredibly, 1992, 1996, 1999, 2003, and 2007. And I was able to find him. He's actually in Vermont in New York. And we hope to touch base with him, 128 two test matches to offer his tribute at the passing of this really fantastic individual, Dickie Bird. On the local scene, we note with interest that Kobe Williams, playing for the Empire Club, getting 13 wickets, match all 13 for 81 runs. And that's something that could never, ever go unnoticed. So we hope to touch base with him a little bit later on. But without any further ado, let me say good night to the captain of the Barbados Royals, Chanel Henry, there in Jamaica. Hello, Miss Henry. How are you this evening?
Good night. I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, the weather is not that good in Barbados. Raining cats and dogs and pigs here. How is the weather in Jamaica? I assume that you're in Jamaica.
Are you
in Jamaica?
I can say the same. Yeah, I'm in Jamaica, and it's literally been the same ever since I got back from the CPL. It's storming outside right now, actually.
All right. No, I know your time is limited, so let's get straight to it. What do you think was responsible for the success of the Barbados Royals?
First of all, I think it's the group of girls that we've had and the local players. Majority of us has been with the Royals since the start of the women's CPL. So that this year kind of came down to everybody that we've had in the past. And of course, a few of the overseas players we've had before too, in Chamari Atapatu and Georgia Ridmain. So the group has been together for a while. And I think that has, you know, contributed to us being successful this season.
Mm. I see. Yeah, a really tremendous performance. Let's look at that the finals against the Amazon Warriors. You set, 137 for victory. But then at one stage, Chanel, you were struggling a bit at 105 for loss of 7. But you've got batting right down to the end. In the end, you were able to get over the line.
As you said rightly so, you know, it was a bit of nerve in the dugout after, you know, those wickets, you know, up front. And obviously those were the girls who have been doing well for us for the season. And to see the girls who haven't even gotten a chance with the bat, you know, to come out and win, you know, the finals for us was really pleasing to see. So all I can say is, you know, I was really proud of them. And, you know, at one stage, you know, we really didn't know what was going to happen. And then when you look at somebody like, you know, Patil, who I've never seen bat, not even in international cricket, playing against her. And then obviously our very own Ali Aleen, who obviously, you know, plays a big part even in West Indies cricket, you know, and how they carried themselves in that final and actually, you know, was able to bring us over the line and win us our third title.
All right. I know that Basil Butcher Jr. Has got a passion for women's cricket. Basil, I'm sure you want to compliment the captain of the Barbados team, and you've got a question or two, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, they beat my Amazon Warriors. congratulations to them. I think Ms. Henry messed us up in the first game there. We had a non-bowler bowling the last over. I gave up as soon as I saw who was batting, right? So, and I think just to talk from a Guyana perspective quickly, I think Guyana was a bowler short. They brought a person who came to bat and ended up using her more as a bowler who is not a bowler. So you could tell right there the combination of the team wasn't there. But the only question I would like to ask is, how does this tournament translate for in terms of the development of our women cricketers in the region? How do you feel it translates?
I mean, we were begging for, you know, a competition like this alongside the men, and we finally got it. And, you know, obviously the women in the Caribbean has gotten the opportunity to play with, you know, even players who, you know, from different countries who plays for different teams, you know, so to get that exposure and to get, you know, that sort of insight from those overseas girls and even the under-19s or the academy player who, you know, actually got the chance to even play with the West Indies senior girls, you know, that's definitely something that's really good for us in the Caribbean as female cricketers. And I hope as, you know, the game grows, especially on the female side, we can have more competitions here. And, you know, that would actually help our girls actually grow more and the sport develop over the region.
And one follow-up is, in all the territories you are, how is it in those territories? I want to hear from the horse's mouth. How is it in the territories in terms of helping you guys to develop your skills? I know, but I just want to hear from the horse's mouth.
I mean, as you said, I'm Jamaican. I'm from Jamaica. I really don't know how it is, you know, in other territories. But here, you know, I think with even myself living so far from where cricket is actually played in Jamaica, which is Kingston, you know, obviously, having to basically drive there probably every day or every other day just to get, like, you know, training facilities or even to see physiotherapists or whatever it might be. I can just probably say sometimes it's a bit difficult, but I guess for me, as somebody who's been, you know, integrated into the West Indies team for so long, it's a bit easier as being contracted. But I guess as for the other local girls or even the academy or the 19 girls, you know, at the West Indies level who have to basically travel or doesn't even live in Kingston or doesn't even have, you know, training facilities or whatever it might be to help them, I think that's probably something we could probably just, you know, look into. I just said that, you know, get probably more coaches or even anything in place that probably travel, you know, to help out girls, because Jamaica is a huge country and we live miles apart, some of us. And, you know, to go to Kingston as that main training facility is extremely hard for some of us. And it was even hard for me at one point. So I can even imagine how it might be for, you know, other females who doesn't have the opportunity or who didn't have the opportunity like I did. So I guess that's probably something that, you know, could happen over the next time or whenever it might happen, that, you know, we probably get a little bit more help in terms of the territories where we're from, and it's not just based in one territory, which is Kingston.
Yeah, well, I could tell you what you just described there is the same thing all over the, because I can tell you from a Guyana perspective, the women in Guyana have the same challenges as you do. And I hear that from other parts of the region. So thank you for your candid comment.
Yeah, we're actually trying to get hold of Ryan Hines. We're going to try and make that connection very soon. But there's a gentleman above you there, Basil Butcher Jr. Who's that gentleman in he's on Zoom. He's got on white. Have you come to retirement? Have you come to retirement, my friend? You're an old man. How are you, sir?
Very good evening to one and all. Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody is well. I'm hearing you've had rain in Barbados.
Yes.
We can share that. We can share the love. Listen, the winter is coming. Tomorrow is the very last day of the last game of the English county cricket season, and everything has been sorted. My word, I would love to be on a flight today to Barbados, but sadly, I'm in the UK and it's very autumnal.
Well, I believe that the rain is affecting in any way your tomatoes. Are your tomatoes?
Yes, yeah. Listen, not just the rain, it's cold now. So my tomatoes are very much coming to an end. I've got a huge amount of green tomatoes. Apparently you can make chutney, but I've never done that yet. But no more tomatoes from now. But listen, Barbados.
You should send some tomatoes for Chanel Henry. Would you do that in Jamaica?
What a delightful lady. And how well have, well, the Barbados ladies done? That's tremendous news, isn't it?
Yeah, tremendous. Thank indeed. You. Yes.
Well, tell me, Andrew, will that act as a great fillip? Will it be a great opportunity to engage even more girls cricket on the beautiful island of Barbados?
I would think so as well. I know that the Barbados Cricket Association, they look at it. In fact, some of the girls play in the second division competition here, and let's hope that could inspire more girls to certainly participate as far as the cricket is concerned. I know, Chanel, your time is tight, so we're going to finish up with you. We've got Tony Gray, I'm sure, who wants to talk to you as well. You played unbeaten, and you also play without Hayley Matthews. Talk to me about that.
I think, you know, myself and the girls and even the coaching staff, you know, the team management unit, I think we had a point to prove in terms of, you know, playing without Hayley. Some of the comments we've received, you know, some of even within, you know, the setup of the CPL, that, you know, we could never probably, let me just say, you know, without Hayley Matthews, it's probably going to be tough. And I think myself and the girls kind of took that as the biggest motivation of the tournament that we could use. And we had a target that we were going to go out and win this competition without Hayley, and for Hayley, because, you know, unfortunately she had to miss the tournament because of an injury and she had to get surgery done. So that was kind of a big thing for us. And we wanted to prove people wrong that, you know, we're still a team and we can still compete even without Hayley Matthews.
Mm-hmm. How was the experience as captain of the side?
To be honest, it was when I first received, it was her who actually called me. And when I first got it, I was like, yeah, I probably have to think about it. But, you know, once I got there and, you know, the environment, and I was completely supported by the group, the coaching staff, everybody. So I had, you know, I had the help of even everybody on the field, the senior players, and obviously girls who've captained their own countries, you know. So it was a bit easier on me because I had leaders on the field and I had people who actually, you know, was behind me to actually lead these girls.
I see. In terms of the playing conditions, very hot there in Guyana?
It was terrible. At one point, I was like, I'm from Jamaica, and trust me, the sun is not this hot in Jamaica. But it was good. It was good for cricket. And, you know, every time we're in Guyana, there's always rain. As they say, the land of many waters, it's always raining.
Yes.
So it was really good. It was really good to actually get the competition out of the way without, you know, any sort of rain interruption or anything. So regardless of how hot the sun was, we were quite happy with that because we got to play cricket.
Were you a little bit worried about the fact that you played a game and then the finals the next day? Did that affect you in any way? Well, certainly the results didn't show that. But perhaps next year they could just give you that little rest and maybe perhaps play the game on the Friday, because you played the Wednesday and then the Thursday.
I mean, it's not an excuse. I mean, as professional athletes, we're used to that kind of, you know, schedule, because there are some times when we even have to do it at the international level. So, you know, as in play back-to-back games, T20 games. So that was something that we're actually used to. And when we knew that we had to play the day before the finals and on the day after, it was like it was normal, to be honest, because that's also something that, as I said, we're used to as professional athletes. Mm-hmm. So, and then again, you know, we're used to this packed schedule when it comes on to, you know, the CPL or anything like that. So it was kind of something that we knew we had to do, and regardless of whatever it was, we just had one goal in mind, and that was just to win the title.
Mm-hmm, I see. What's next for you, Chanel? You're back home in Jamaica. I know you had an injury. You're obviously much better now. What's next for you?
I think we have probably we have like a couple of days off, you know, rest, and then I think we go into camps, and then obviously I leave at the end of October for Big Bash in Australia. So that's kind of the plan for the next couple of months.
Final question. Now, if you had to meet with the officials of CPL, would there be any recommendations that you would make maybe to improve the tournament? What would you say to them if you met with them?
I mean, as I said, I think the one thing I would like to see for us, especially the WCPL, is just that we have more games.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously we paid probably each team plays each team's twice, because there's just three teams in the competition. But obviously it's only three teams, so we can't get more games. But I think that's something could probably for future, obviously, you know, probably another team or something, just to get more girls involved and also more games, because that's the only competition we have in the Caribbean right now. For girls outside of, you know, playing for West Indies or for your country. That's the only league we have in the Caribbean. So I would just like to see, you know, more games being played and not just like a week of CPL tournament.
I see. Tony Gray, just before she goes, first of all, congratulate her. Trinidad and Tobago didn't get into the finals in the women. You won the men, so you're still smarting. Say hello to Chanel, and I'm sure you may have a question for good old Tony Gray. You, by the way, though, your beard is that your name?
Yes, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to our listeners and viewers. Chanel, well done. It was a fantastic run, unbeaten in the tournament, so it shows unequivocally that you know, your preparation was good, and obviously you got the productivity. As captain, you know, generally in the Caribbean, what I have found is that, you know, our psyche is one that needs a boost for us to respond well. And you talk about the Haley Matthews not being there. And is it a general thing when it pertains to our cricketers, male and female, that our motivation hibernates and we need something to really get us going?
I mean, I think most people probably would see it like that, or even think that way. I mean, most of us probably thrive off, you know, just a push or just something to get us, you know, performing.
Hello?
The way we we're supposed to perform. And like I said, I think the girls really, really wanted this tournament, especially with, you know, as I said, the comments that were being made and the fact that we were without our captain. And, you know, over the years, she has been that person who, you know, who's majority of the teams and everything, you know, kind of rests on her. So, you know, didn't have her this season, and then everybody just kind of counted us out because there's no Haley, so there's no Barbados Royals. I think that was a huge motivation for myself and the girls to prove that, you know, we are also as capable as a unit or as individuals to do great things. And as you said, probably we thrive off, you know, just anything to push us. And even if that is it, I think we should probably find our own thing that drive us in terms of, you know, to keep performing at that level. And I think that's something we can probably think about to see if that's what we do or that's how we perform. But the girls really had a motivation this season, and I think that was the biggest one to really come out and push for our third title. Mm-hmm.
The other question I want to ask before you close off would be your involvement in franchise cricket throughout the world. You know, different parts of the world offers different knowledge base, different experiences. You know, how is it when you play in Australia, for example, in comparison to here in the Caribbean?
I've played in Australia for like just international level. This would be my first time going for the Big Bash, but I can just probably touch on the fact, you know, probably playing in India in the WP, you know, the Women's Premier League. I think the exposure that you get as an individual in terms of people you play with, and, you know, just stepping out of your comfort zone because you're no longer with your teammates that you're used to. These are new teammates, and then this is new territory. So I guess it's just something that you try to see if it is that you could perform outside of your comfort zone, and what is it that you need, what is it that you thrive off of. And I think for me in the Women's Premier League, that was just comfort of just being myself and just, you know, playing cricket and just enjoying it how I know to. And I think over the last probably year, 14 months, that has been something that I probably found out a little too late, or maybe it's just the right time that this is how I actually thrive, and this is something that's been working for me. So, and then as I mentioned, you know, as you said, being captain, and they keep asking the question, how will you cope with the pressure? And I think that's just still being me in terms of, I didn't change my game. I didn't change anything. I just stick to what has been working. And I just hope that that's something that I can keep repeating for the next probably, you know, 3-4 years, whether it be at the international level or just playing club cricket around the world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much indeed for coming through, the captain of the Barbados Royals. I know that you're happy to be back home in Jamaica, having your ackee and saltfish. I know. You don't want doubles.
It's definitely from in season now, yeah.
Oh, it's in season now. You don't want any doubles from Trinidad. Let Tony Gray keep the doubles, and I'm sure that you're quite happy to be back home in Jamaica. Thanks for coming on, Mason and Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening, my dear.
Thank you for having me, and bye-bye.
All right, so there you have it. The captain of the successful Barbados Royals team. We're going to still try to make that connection with Ryan Hines. It's been difficult. And we're going to also pause for business calls very, very soon. But Don Topley, how are you? Are you eating tomatoes there?
No, I'm very well, thank you. I'm interested about the Ashes side that's been announced today. As I said, we're coming to the season. I'm off for a little holiday. I'm popping over to LA for a little visit, and then going off to the Ashes. So I'm looking forward to get a bit of decent weather and maybe a trip to Barbados in 2026. That would be very nice. But apart from that, I've enjoyed our cricket season. The weather in the UK has been really good. We entertained 66 tourists from up in North Stars. The community came across for a tour, which was fantastic. We hosted them in East Anglia. They've never been to East Anglia, so it was great to host them in Norwich and indeed Colchester, where they went on their annual tour to the likes of Oxford, Manchester, Birmingham. But we brought them to to East Anglia, which was great fun. They had a great time enjoying the treats of Norwich and Colchester.
I see. And of course, you've got to tell us about a Barbadian who's captain in England, Mr. Bethel.
Well, yes. Well, he didn't. Yeah, he did. They won 2-0.
Yes.
In the three games T20. Jacob Bethel, very young man, captain England. Were we surprised? Well, in a kind of way, we were, but they think very highly of him. Mm. And they think very highly of the education that he had out in the West Indies and later in England. So well done to him. He's on the Ashes tour. I don't think that's a surprise. The Ashes batting lineup is pretty predictable. Will he get in it? He could bat at 6 or 7, be the second spinner. Probably the surprise, Andrew, is that Rian Army didn't get the second spinner's job. It went to Will Jacks of Surrey. Rian Army, Liam Dawson and Jack Leach all missed out on the second spinner. But the thing, Bethel will be able to compete for that as well. But he's probably more of a safety valve rather than a proper spinner. But you guys always get excited about pace, and they're very excited about the England seven seamers strong, that is. You've got Jofra Archer, Gus Atkinson, Bryden Carse, Matt Potts, Josh Tongue, and Mark Wood to go with the captain, Ben Stokes. But you're right, you went ooh. Everyone's going ooh about Mark Wood because it was hoped he would play in the last couple of championship games for Durham. He hasn't. He had a little bit of a delay in his recovery, but he's in the squad. And of course, you know, he's under pressure to perform a little bit now in New Zealand because the Test squad and the one-day squad are quite similar. And England go to play 3 T20s in New Zealand starting on the 18th. They then play 3 ODIs on the 26th. And then the Ashes first warm-up is on the 13th of November. So, you know, we're almost close to October. And then we're going to be in New Zealand preparing for the Ashes as well, which will commence with the warm-up on the 13th of November. They're excited about that bowling attack, but I still think, and history will tell you, that Englishmen who have gone to play in the Ashes in Australia have often fell foul. They've got injured, and for some, it's ended their career in the hot, hard surfaces of Australia. Back-to-back tests will be a real challenge for England. I don't know what the West Indians think. People are from Barbados. I don't know if they're rooting for England or indeed Australia. But it should be quite an entertaining series. I just hope that there's some good cricket and England fight hard.
Well, of course, the West Indies, Tony Gray, they're going to be away to play against India pretty soon. What are you looking forward to there, Tony?
Well, it's going to be a very difficult series. Obviously, the Indians have done well within recent times. And obviously, that tour of England would have put them in good stead. Shubman Gill, obviously, is a new captain, but he's highly motivated. KL Rahul, excellent batsman and company. So they have young, motivated players, and they would be willing to continue to make their mark in international test match cricket. So it's going to be a very difficult tour for the West Indies team, but we cannot go to India with a defeatist mentality. We have to look at what transpired in Australia in recent times when we beat Australia in that last test match, that 2-test match series. And we have to go with that mentality. Obviously, we have very good fast bowlers, a combination of 3 very young and vibrant fast bowlers who are different. So we will use that as an advantage against the Indians. Our batting is a little bit thin and obviously have not been doing well in test match cricket. Technical issues and, the ability to concentrate for long periods is a factor. But again, it's about human beings against human beings. We must go with that that positivity. And the only way you can beat India in India or draw a series is to put pressure on them. Don't like the fact that we are talking about being subdued in our approach and being dogged in our approach. That's not how you beat the best teams in the world. But we have some very good players. Jaden Seal comes to mind. Mazhari Joseph, he cranked it up the other day against Australia in this final test match at Sabina Park. It was wonderful to see. And we have Shamar Joseph getting, 22 wickets against Australia. And they're the number one team in the world. So we can perform well against India and must never go there with a defeatist mentality.
Mm-hmm, I see. All right. Just stay with us. I think we got Ryan Hines down on the line. I know he's a very busy man. We heard from Chanel Henry. We hope to touch people to Colin Border a bit later on. And, you know, we got so many things on the show. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hello, Andrew. How are you? Good evening to your panel. Good evening to listeners and also those in the diaspora.
Yeah, you must be a very happy man bringing the cup back to Barbados, a third straight year as coach. You must be very happy.
Yeah, but this performance is really is about women's cricket and the development of women's cricket. You know, we'd be crying out for the development of women's cricket, as you would have witnessed, you know, in the recent years, is growing. I actually watched a match recently where Australia scored 412. India fell short by about 40 runs.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, the game is growing. I mean, there are a few persons that I need to thank, Andrew, before I get into my preamble.
Sure.
I want to thank the Barbados Cricket Association, the Barbados Pride franchise, Cricket West Indies, the supporters, my family, you know, my dad, who has played an integral role in my life since I lost my mom, and, you know, my family and friends, and Empire Club, who were there live, you know, in the numbers to support us at the national stadium. So I must give credit to those persons who played an important role in supporting the team. Also the sponsors who continue to you know, develop women's cricket. You know, these things are important. And like I said, our on-field performances are greater than just performances. I think the way how we carried ourselves on and off the field, the type of cricket that we played, the product that we wanted to put out there. I must also commend the Trinidad team and also Guyana, because when you look at the tournament stats, this year is by far the most competitive in terms of scores. The average score basically would have been 140. So, yes, we were able to, you know, put a product out there that people can resonate with.
Mm. And, of course, you also had some setbacks as well. You had a couple of injuries.
Yeah, well, even the tournament, losing a world-class player, Hayley Matthews, I mean, the aura that she carries, you know, the players were really looking forward to play with her, even the overseas professionals. We also lost Steffi Sugrim.
Yes.
You know, the day before the match, fell awkwardly on her knee. And also Redmayne, who for the second year running, you know, she came in from the 100 last year with a broken thumb. And then, unfortunately, you know, the concussion rule, that's something that we had to manage. And I must give credit to my management team. I thought Samantha Lynch was on the ball in terms of, you know, analyzing and being analytical.
Mm-hmm.
Then our trainer, Yvonne Arthur, who kept the girls fit. And also our physio, who kept them on the park. So it was a total team effort. I mean, like I said, I'm still overwhelmed by the support that we would have received. You mean here in Barbados, you know, for the time we landed at home, mm-hmm. you know, wherever you go, there's that support behind women's cricket. You know, we don't have to talk about the performances of the Royals men, but I must thank the Royals men team for mm-hmm. their support of the women's team as well, too. I received a note today from the head coach, Trevor Penny, mm-hmm. you know, showing his support behind the women's team, and he was really proud of the performances throughout the tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, Andrew, to win without one of the best players in the world, Hayley Matthews, but to go unbeaten, I don't think many of us would have expected that to happen.
Yeah, indeed. Ryan, just before you go, any recommendations in terms of trying to improve the tournament? We heard from Chanel Henry, you know, she expressed some concern, but just only three teams. But if you had to meet with Pete Russell and those big guns at CPL, what would you say to them, Ryan?
What I would say, Andrew, is that this year, for sure, in terms of viewership, I'm pretty sure that your viewership would have grown. I must commend the hospitality that we would have received in Guyana. Like, I couldn't leave you folks saying that, Andrew. I mean, our liaison officer was on the ball. Everything we asked of her, she delivered. You know, we had an opportunity to meet the president, Infra Ali. He was exceptional in terms of, you know, having conversations with us and meeting the girls and having a little fun at the CPL party. But getting back to think areas that we can improve, I believe that you rightfully said an additional team would be ideal. But we also have to look at the financial structure as well. So these are things that we need to look at. Mm. You know, more sponsors on board. You never
Ran,
know.
You want more money? Ran, you want more money?
Andrew, it's not about money for me. It's about impacting players' lives.
Okay, can I put it in another way? You want an increase in pay?
Andrew, I'm very thankful and grateful for the opportunity to work with you. Again, Andrew, there are things I need to say before I go.
Sure.
I think we have the quality in terms of the coaching in the Caribbean. Look at what Dwayne Bravo would have done with the Trinidad team. We just need to stick together. I think being together is important.
Right.
I think we need to have a policy, you know, that works for each and every. I mean, there's different structures within the Caribbean, but we need to come together. Andrew, you can imagine we coming together as coaches and players. You understand, on a united front, how powerful we can be.
Yes.
So I'm just pleading to all and sundry, let's come together for the betterment of West Indies cricket, both male and female.
Well, you've been very powerful in your statement that Ryan Hines, the coach of the Barbados Royals team, of course. Let's make the distinction to women, because we know the men didn't do a lot at all. And that is, of course, disappointing. Rand, thanks for coming on Mason and Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for entertaining me. Have a wonderful evening. I hope to see you at Bank Hall again sometime soon as we pull off a late victory.
Yes, yes, indeed, a late victory. A late victory, indeed. And of course, you got to play against Wanderers, I think, the next match there. You got to try and get close to Wilde, because they look as if they're going to win the tournament. And I hope
we will need to dismiss Craig. Craig is in hot form, so yes, we need to get him out early.
Be careful when you talk about Craig, you know, because when you say dismiss, you know, he's already been dismissed from the West Indies team. So we got to be careful about that. Do you think, by the way, that Craig may play again, or you think that's it? Good night, nurse, for Craig. What do you think, Ryan?
Think they'll being close to Craig, working with the men's franchise, Craig has a never die attitude, and I'm pretty sure that he's going to put in the necessary work in the next couple of months to get himself back there mentally, physically, and technically. I mean, there's all, Andrew, let's be honest, I haven't seen a player that hasn't had a technical deficiency. We all have technical deficiencies. I think what is important for our players is how mentally ready we can be, you know, for the heat of battle. I think, you know, the opportunity for me, again, I want to thank Cricket West Indies to work in the ICE program, which is the International Cricket Experience, where I was there with for the first test and got first-hand experience of the pressures. And once we can handle that, and once we can have the right mindset and mentality, Andrew, I'm pretty sure that we can play consistently well.
I got a question for you before you go. Would you have taken Craig to India?
Andrew, you like to put me in the hot seat, you know. I work with Craig. I'm pretty sure that Craig, you know, has the mentality to get back there in the not-too-distant future. Andrew, I'm not a selector, but I'm a huge fan of Craig. He surpassed me as the leading run scorer for Barbados. So, yes, I have that tremendous respect for Craig. I'm pretty sure that he's going to, you know, put in the necessary hard work, you know, with Vaspert, myself, and other persons that he worked closely with to get himself back there mentally.
All right. Thanks very much for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest. We're going to pause for a cause. When they come back, I'm going to ask Tony Gray if you depict him. And of course, you know, we couldn't do this program without acknowledging the great work, the fantastic work of Joshua Dorn. Of course, lest we forget, he was traveling last Tuesday, couldn't come on the show, up against the Sri Lankans. He certainly won. A very quiet man. We're going to be hearing from him pretty soon. But I know that we're going to just make a change now, because I see that the big gun is coming in there. Who's that gentleman there? Hello. Graham, do you know the gentleman there coming in to replace you?
He looks vaguely familiar.
But I have to be careful. Big guns fire.
Okay, big guns fire. So are you a big snapper then?
He said they fire, not that they get fired. But, because I've heard that guns don't kill people.
Yes.
So they get fired.
But all right, indeed. All right, just before you go, just let's do a commercial. Mason and guest, Broaden Association with our very good friends at ESFE Work Realm, the best show of the day.
ESFE Work Realm. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Drink it up or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4341790 is the call number. Give us a call and participate. Thanks to Graham Vaughan, who I think's nickname is the Encourager. Is that correct? Yeah, it's the Encourager.
Graham, don't mind hearing his sweet talk. Charging, man.
Well, I got to be very careful when I speak, because David Ellis only yesterday on Brass Sack said that I was mischievous. You heard that? Yes, he said I was very mischievous, which may be true.
Anyway. Listen, Andrew Mason is the quintessence of mischief. Or rather the personification.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, I know Don Topley is way past his bedtime. We're not going to keep him too much longer. In terms of the West Indies in India, Don, you think the West Indies miraculously can beat India? Talk to me, Don. What do you think? Don?
Listen, where are they playing? Am I right in saying they're playing at Ahmedabad?
Yes.
And Delhi?
Yes.
And so Ahmedabad, you never know what kind of a wicket you can get, because they've got all kinds of red soil, less red soil. They can make it turn and they can have a little bit of pace and bounce as well. Mm. And Delhi, I'm not so sure. I don't know if that's going to help you or not. You're on tour in India and then you go straight on to New Zealand. Is that right? That's going to be a good series for you. You've got a lot of cricket out in New Zealand, haven't you?
Yes. In fact, the guys are going to be very busy between now and Christmas time. Cricket and more cricket. Right. But you didn't answer the question. You Englishmen are very diplomatic. I asked your question, Don.
I wanted to answer
the question. Come on, please, answer the question, sir.
You don't want me to sit on the fence.
No.
I think, like Roland Butcher. I think you've got as much chance, I'm sorry, I think you've got as much chance as England did in India.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
And, we can hope, but I think it will be a tough tour. That's two test matches.
Yes, going to be very
tough.
You never know.
You know, you never know in the game of cricket. Mm. If the game was simply played on paper all the time,
right,
then it would be pretty dull. But you do have a chance, but it's probably not the best chance, but let's hope. I'll certainly be interested in watching and I'll be rooting for the West Indies in India. Listen, New Zealand turned them over, didn't they?
Yes, I watched that series. What a series it was, yes.
Yeah, now, but it can happen.
Just before you go, a tribute to the late, great Dickie Bird.
Yeah, sad today, very much sad. It's been on all the news. It hasn't led the news, but it's been on every single news, television and radio. He was the most popular, charismatic. Everyone loved him. He had time for everyone. He was so humble. You know, there are some umpires that like to dictate the game. He was revered by the players, respected. He was loved. He wasn't a great cricketer himself. He played for Yorkshire, then moved to Leicestershire. I think he got a few hundreds. He wasn't a poor cricketer, but he wanted to go into umpiring. He loved the game, and it was his world. And we have lost a great friend. Yorkshire certainly has lost a great servant. But for me, you treat people how they treat you. And in life, he was wonderful to me as a young cricketer, as an experienced cricketer. After my cricket career, I look upon him as a friend. And I am very, very sad that I will never enjoy the company again of what I perceive as a great cricket man. So rest in peace, Dickie. He will be missed. He was very much loved.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much indeed, Don Topley, for coming and being very much a part of the Mason and Guest family this evening. I don't think you have any Bajan rum. All of it is gone. Is that right, Don, before you go?
No. Lisa, I must tell you, I was indebted. I was giving some rum by the community of North Stars cricket. And I have converted one of my lockers in my lounge, and it's now called, you'll be very proud, it's genuinely called a brass badge on it. It says rum locker. How impressive is that? I've got some One Eye.
Yeah.
I've got some St. Nicholas.
Yes.
I've got Mount Gay. I've got a special Mount Gay. Mm. And I think, if you look carefully, I've even got a bottle of that special Desmond Haynes rum.
Oh, really? Wonderful indeed. Wonderful indeed. And what I will do is to send you about 10 bottles of ASF wet rum. You know why? Because it's the best shot of the day.
Oh, thank you very much, and a very good night to one and all.
All right, we're going to pause for business calls, 441790. Ken, could you be awake there, Ken? Are you awake? Good old Ken, are you awake? All right, so are you ready? Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASF Wet Rum, the best of the day.
ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. 441790, the lines are open. It will be great to hear from you. We've got Joshua Dorn on the line. Let's go to you. Of course, we're talking about Tony Gray. Tony, you would have had a chance to see the youngsters play Sri Lanka, of course, up against the West Indies. It's a tight series. The West Indies came out on top. And I know that you're very, very big on the young players. And Joshua Dorn joins us. Good evening to you, Joshua. How are you?
Hey, good evening, I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Good. We're not seeing your face, though, Joshua. We want to see your face. Can we see your face? Is that possible?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, that's much better there. Much better there. Tony Gray, the young man who captained the West Indies team. I'm going to allow you, Tony Gray, to ask the first question to young Joshua Dorn. Tony?
Well, first of all, well done. And it's a great thing, obviously, captaining a West Indies team, leading a West Indies team, especially a young team. When you have young players, they need to be influenced in the right way. And if you've been given the leadership of the West Indies team at that age, it means to say that you have the qualities. How is it captaining the West Indies team with all of these different players coming from all over the Caribbean? Obviously, you're not going to get the same personalities, but you're going to get different cultures. So is it a taxing thing, or is it easy for you?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's easy for everyone, actually, because we would have played together in the regional under 19 tournament. So, and also, would have had like a little camp before the series against Sri Lanka. So it was a chance for us to gel together as a group and, you know, build our camaraderie. And I wouldn't say it was hard to do. It's generally very, very easy.
When you're looking at, the dynamics of playing at that level and looking forward to, because at this level, you need to obviously be motivated to play international cricket or franchise cricket. What you have found in a general sense with our players on that West Indies Under 90 team, you think they are looking forward to for big things, being the best in the world, being motivated to not just play for the West Indies team, but to perform well on a consistent basis?
Well, yeah, I think everybody has that mindset. And, you know, playing for West Indies on 19 is a wonderful opportunity. And I think everyone, you know, cherishes it and hopes to use it as, you know, a path to greater things.
Right. When you look at, us in comparison to other teams in the world at the under 90 level, what are some of the things we need to improve on? What you think are some of the deficiencies that we have or some of the strengths that we have? What do you think that we need to improve on, and what do you think are our strengths?
Well, I think our strengths will be fact that we actually have an academy, because that's a channel for young players to showcase their talents and get an opportunity to play at first class level, this year level, and what's not. So I think that's something that the CWA has implemented and is really good.
Right. Let me just ask you a question, because I'm still coaching. I'm sitting here at the University of Trinidad and Tobago, and I deal with student athletes. Somebody like you have done excellently, at leadership, first of all, and obviously in your sport. How do you balance the academics and obviously the other stressors, because you have other stressors? At this stage, you want to change your mindset to being much more of a mature person. How do you balance all these things that are happening at the under 19 level, academics, sport, and you talk more international sport now, and with all the other aspects of your life?
Well, to be honest, it's just about knowing when to switch on and when to switch off. So when it's time for cricket, it's business time. When it's time for academics or the chance to talk with friends and family, is that sort of thing. So it's just about managing your time and knowing when is the appropriate time to do certain things.
Yeah, my idol was Michael Holin. First of all, seeing him at Queen's Park Oval at about 12 years old, then I knew I wanted to bowl fast. I mean, everybody at a certain age will have an idol. Who's yours?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't really say I have a specific idol, but I guess you could say I have players to look up to at the international level, like Joe Root, Shea Holt, and just to name a few.
Yeah, I like that, because youngsters will normally talk about the vibrant type players. I'm not saying that Joe Root is not vibrant, but he's balanced in his approach. Mm-hmm. Shea Holt is the same thing. But what you like about them that really motivates you to look at them and learn certain things from them?
Mm, good question.
I think it's their appetite to score runs and their work ethic. I think that's something I really took away from them, and it's something that really took my game to another level within, I would say, the last 18 months. Work ethic.
Yeah, I like that, because of the fact that, the work ethic is what's going to make you an international player, and consistently so, where productivity is concerned. So the thing about it is that a lot of the youngsters see the end result, without looking at what the process, you know, makes. You have to go through the process, mm-hmm. physical training, you know, the technical aspect of the game, the tactical aspect of the game. You have to be a student of the game. What you say you would want to personally improve on as a player?
Well, I guess there's always the technical side of things. You know, coming up through AS Group cricket, I guess the technique changes mm-hmm. from time to time, even at the senior level, changes from time to time. So there's always things to critique. Not that there's always things, but you know, things may creep into your game. You might have to critique certain things. But then on the other hand, too, with the mental side of things, I think that's where, mm-hmm. for me, I think if I'm mentally strong, I think my skills can do the rest of the work. So that's an area that we want to keep improving.
Yeah, that's well said, because you need to be mentally strong going forward. And the way you do it is not just by, I mean, a lot of people talk about being mentally strong, but you have to challenge yourself in practice. You have to challenge yourself in game situation. You have to obviously look for the knowledge from senior players, people who have done it before, that sort of thing. But I believe in training very hard and challenging yourself in training. What do you say?
Well, you know, training is always a chance to practice these things. And mm-hmm. I believe that mm-hmm. you need to practice or you want to play. So that's the place to groove these things.
Mm. Well, Joshua, I know that your time is limited. I know you're young people, of course, they got so many things to do. So we're going to take up too much of your time. But just before you go, the conditions in Antigua, where you played, were you happy? The pitches were okay when you played against Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I would say pitches were decent for the most part.
Decent?
You know, one or two occasions, the ball got a little low and stuff like that. But for the most part, the pitches were decent.
Mm. What do you mean by decent?
Because there were belters, like when you get in Pakistan, but decent batting pitches, decent bowling pitches.
Well, you know, I'm not, I rate the pitches based on what you said, and I'm sure my good friend Basil Butcher would agree with me. When if someone says decent, they certainly didn't get a passing grade of 5 out of 10, I think, based on what you're saying. Basil, you think he's saying the pitches in Antigua would have been getting 4 out of 10, Basil? He said decent.
I think the young man is a good diplomat. He has a good future as a diplomat. I watch every one of the games, and you know, I was somewhat disappointed because I wanted to see games, pitches that could challenge the batters a little bit more, so these young guys could see areas of their games, because when the ball starts to seam around and so on, they get a better understanding of things, what technical things they got to keep adding to their game to be able to thrive in such conditions. And, you know, similar for the bowlers to get that kind of stuff. You know, a more balanced situation. I would have liked to see more of that. But I must say well done to young Dorn. I saw him bat particularly that game when him and Van Lang put on that partnership. And he, even after Van Lang got out,
mm-hmm.
He steered the ship home, you know, and I was watching that closely to see if after Van Lang got out, he might have faltered, but he held the fort for him, and well done to him. And I just want to add one something quickly, you know, Tony asked him a bunch of stuff, and just to add on to what Tony says, I would just advise him, is that you're never arrived as a player. You're always seeking to improve. The minute you seek not to improve of a player, that's when you're going to be out, kicked out of the team, because your performances were reflected. You have never arrived. So never believe that you have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
All the great players across all sports are always constantly working on the games, because there's nothing near perfection. It's always about constant improvement.
Well said. Joshua, you agree with that?
I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you now, Joshua, before you go?
Well, Brazilian team is supposed to have a series against USA and England, trade series in November. So, once in that, I'm preparing myself for that.
So no one has spoken to you about captaining the side?
No, not as yet.
Bazzy, you're very close to this action. Have you heard anything, Bazzy?
No, I didn't hear anything. I mean, if they change captaincy away from him, I would say they need to go to the mad house.
I would think so. Well, they took it away from Craig Brathwaite. Or did Craig retire?
I mean, in the case of Young Darn, yes. I think Young Darn did a superb job,
yes,
both as boxers and now as West East captain. I think he has a good understanding of the game. You hear him articulate.
Yes.
He's very sure. I think he has all those various leadership skills that we would want to continue to develop and not push by the wayside. So that's why I say if he is not captain for that tri-city. I see him as being the captain for the World Cup, barring injury.
Yes, yes. You're looking forward to that, Josh? Joshua, being captain for the World Cup?
Well, once you let him.
Once again, he's very diplomatic. Some men, yes, Christchurch. Yes. You're a Christchurch man, Joshua. You live in Christchurch?
Oh, St. Michael.
Oh, St. Michael. That means that Ezra Stewart gave me the wrong information. You're a St. Michael man. All right. Well, of course, we gathered in St. Michael in December, so we'll see you there then. Thanks for coming on, Mason and guests. Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
All right, thanks, you too.
All right, we're going to pause for a business call. 441790. Of course, the man who's taken charge now is Ken Husband. They call him Big Ken. Well, he's lost a bit of weight, so I don't think you should call him Big Ken anymore. But don't say anything, my friend. Mason and guests brought to the association with our good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best show of the day. ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right, can we go to the telephones? 441790. Let's take some calls. We got a young Kobe Williams. That performance on the weekend was so brilliant that we thought we'd have him in the Empire Man, home of champions. Let's go and take our first call. Hello, welcome to Mason and Guests.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
How are you, Randolph?
Hey, not too bad, you know. Now, first, let me say to you that the gathering is in St. Michael in No. November.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So who's got December?
December, everybody would have been through. Everybody has December.
Okay.
Because they go...
It's 11.
From that wonderful parish in Andrew, they are going... then they went to St. James.
Right.
And from St. James, they're going to Christ Church.
Yes.
Which is in October.
Have they gone to your parishes yet?
They went to my parish already, St. Andrew.
Oh, you're a St. Andrew man, Randolph?
I'm a full St. Andrew person.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's where my roots are from.
I always thought that you were from King Edward Road and Bank Hall.
No. That's where my roots are from, St. Andrew. That wonderful place. That parish has a person like Gregston.
Oh, Gregson, yeah.
My roots are from there.
Ken Husband is also from St. Andrew. Did you know that?
No. He is from St. Thomas.
Yeah. He's a St. Thomas man. Yes, talk to me.
Yes. First, let me say congratulations to the Barbados Royals.
Women.
Females. I thought they did an excellent job, and it's good that they got home. In terms of Ryan Hines, I think he seemed to be doing a very good job
mm-hmm. in his coaching skills, and I recognize that he would not allow you to trap him like before. David said that you're mischievous, you know.
Yeah, he
so
did.
You asked Red Hines one question in two different forms.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
He was able to identify your question.
Yeah.
So you're under the gun.
Under the microscope.
And said that in the home of champions, I would like to congratulate the youngster there on the...
Kobe Williams.
Williams.
In fact, Randolph, he's with us, and he's got his dad with him as well. You know, but when you get a performance like that, I think it's important that
it's worthy, of course.
You know, Basin and Guest is very well planned. You know, sir.
Andrew, before I
talk to me.
Before I go, you actually lose my train of thought there just now.
I do that with you all the time, Randolph.
The guy who was with you, journey with you, training. Under you,
Joshua Ferdinand.
Right, I think that he made a very. I was a bit disturbed when Empire declared at with 120 lead. I personally thought that they should have tried and get as much as about 150.
I thought at least 275 to get the extra batting point.
Right, and not only that, to bowl at least two overs before the end.
Yes.
So coming on Sunday, the ball would be a little firmer.
Yes.
Right. I thought that the captain, to my mind, made an error. Yes, he got through there. And I don't know why these guys would not bowl wicket to wicket and give that youngster a lot of lollipop bowling that he could be hitting over the wall. Those guys should have been out. They should have put in the fast bowlers, the fast bowler pitching the ball up.
Yes.
I'm going to allow them to give them that lollipop bowling. But, you know, I hope Empire will continue to stay on because I don't see them beating Windward because Windward is going to go on to win the cup. But this is what I would say.
No, Wildy.
If I say Windward, Wildy. But I would say this in closing off. I personally feel that the time for promotion and demotion should stop in the elite division.
Ooh.
Why? When you have these 10 or 8 teams up there, all persons who now want to improve their cricket will join these clubs up there and become and make themselves more readily available instead of this chopping and changing last two people going out. I think it is important that so the elite, it would really be an elite division. So if you're a good school ball, you would align yourself with one of these teams.
Right.
Right? Instead of having, you know, this team coming up and one going down and that. No, it time has come. You have to end that. Division one, and so they can do how they want to do there. But outside of that, and you want to progress, you need to join up in one of the top teams. And I hope that the BCA members who are listening, think seriously about that one. Anyhow, Andrew, to you and your guests.
But thank you very much indeed. I'm sure that Calvin Hope is listening to you. He hasn't come on Mason and Guest since he won the presidency. I'm a little bit disappointed by that.
No, but you must understand there's a difference between when you are president and vice president. And he's not going to allow you to railroad him.
No, I want him to come on Mason and Guest. Come on. I want to put him under the microscope.
And to Mr. Butcher, young Butcher there, I think it is guys like him.
Yes.
I think that we need in Cricket West Indies. He's very Arctic. I've been following his thoughts and his ideas and suggestions. He seems to be a very articulate fellow. And that is the type of person we need to be around.
So why do you think he's been selected to be a Mason guest?
Oh, my goodness. All right. You won that round.
Thank you very much indeed. Yes. 441790. You can certainly give us a call and participate in the Basin and Guest Show. Can we take another call? We can't. Ken Husband says, take the call, Andrew. Hello, welcome.
Hi, good night. Good night, Andrew.
Good night to you.
Let me congratulate Mr. Dorn.
Yes.
I feel very, very happy for Mr. Dorn. I have followed his progress over time, even before he became captain of Barbados and captain of West Indies. If you check Mr. Dorn in local cricket, he is very, very consistent. Very consistent. Reminds me of Craig Bradford many years ago when he first, as a teenage boy, used to score Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I find it impossible to disagree with Randolph. I have never met Randolph, don't know him. And he is very much like Mr. Gray. Tony Gray is not just a former cricketer, he's a student of cricket.
Mm.
And this is where we in the West Indies have to become students of cricket. Like, for example, one of our weaknesses as West Indian cricketers is that we often lack match awareness. And this has been the downfall of our batting and our fielding. In fact, you yourself, Mr. Mason, this is Raw Leafman.
Yes, I know it is. I know your voice very well, Raw.
You would have picked up weaknesses in all field placing over time.
Yep.
And those weaknesses point very much to what I call match awareness. I like how Mr. Butcher Jr. also comments, right? This show tonight is going very well, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to expect a certain standard from Mr. Mason, whether or not ASF feels is the only one that guides him.
I like that one. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, but overall, Wayne Hines has done well with the ladies.
Yes.
I think that the current BCA administration has committed itself to promoting women's cricket in Barbados and youth cricket. And as Randolph said, we have to look at how we promote the more and such like. And there's also the other point of our, I almost lost my train of thought, of our not always being appreciative of the fact that there are cricketers who play regularly in Barbados who simply do not understand the party system. As a fact, you know, Andrew.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Very true. Very true. Very, very
there
true.
There are cricketers who don't know about batting parts and bowling parts, and they do so to this day. But Andrew, one of my greatest ambitions in this life is to meet Mr. Randolph. I don't know him, but I really appreciate him. In the same way that I defer to you, Andrew, you are, as Chaucer, Geoffrey Chaucer said, you're the perfect gentleman. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. All right. We're going to try and sneak a couple. Yes, Basil, you're saying something, Basil?
I wanted to put something quickly on the record.
Sure.
Because when I listened to the Darren Sammy's press conference after the selection of the team, there was a question that was asked in regards to why the inclusion of young Chanderpaul recalled.
Yes.
And both him and Jamal Smith were talking about the way how he bats and we got to get that kind of batter. And I wish I could have reminded both of them, because I don't know if they know this. In 1974, when we were going to India, we had one incumbent opening batter in Roy Fredericks, who was one of the most aggressive opening batters we have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And two new guys, one of whom would have to make his debut, Gordon Greenidge and Leonard Bacon. Who did they choose? Gordon Greenidge, who is just below Fredericks in terms of aggressiveness. What did he do? He scored 193. So this thing about doggedness and so on, and these things, how they talk about roles, I think you more have to look at the competence of the player.
Yes.
Not this roles thing. Because based on their mindset, they would have chosen Leonard Bacon instead of Gordon Greenidge.
Can you imagine that? Now, let me ask a question, though, Basil, before we come to Kobe and Christopher. Would you have carried Chanderpaul?
Look, Andrew, I view Chanderpaul's selection like this, similar to what happened with when Solorzano was selected. We have no other options. and so there is Chanderpaul sitting.
So we're scraping the barrel?
Well, yes. Can I say something, Andrew?
Yeah.
Let me just finish, Tony. Let me just finish this. I would have wished if instead of them being so stuck to the roles, that they could have looked at other capable batters that could have opened the batting rather than going back to Chanderpaul per se.
Oh, Tony, would you have picked Chanderpaul?
Yeah, I think that, well, the first things first, gentlemen, I think that we have to assess the regional tournament. We are picking our team from the regional tournament. And what transpired this year is quite remarkable, because we had 41 centuries, over 40 or 41 centuries in the regional tournament, 19 in the first three rounds of cricket. I was asked by a CWI official to assess things after the first three rounds. And I said, you got to wait a while, because the first three rounds were so advantageous to the batsmen in the Caribbean that you had flat pitches and we used the Coco Brawl ball. Now, the way you assess things is to see batsmen under more challenge. And when the juke ball came along, then you could assess them properly. Unfortunately, Chanapaul got injured after the first, what, three rounds of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who struggled before he got dropped. And when I say struggle, it was really magnified by poor technique. He was overcompensating. Remember, he went to Australia first mm-hmm. time off, had an average of 40. And that average went down the second time around because he was overcompensating where his technique was concerned. He was not driving the ball properly. He got out in different ways. So I don't think that you could properly assess a player after three rounds of cricket that was seriously advantageous to the batsmen because of those factors. I think that, in this situation, we're in a quagmire, a quandary,
mm-hmm.
and a real mess when it comes to our opening batsmen, because we have done ourselves an injustice mm-hmm. by having lethargic pitches that mm-hmm. doesn't seem wrong.
Mm.
So our batsmen generally get a false sense of performance. Mm. What we need to do, obviously, is not stay in the box, but we must think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about our opening batsmen. You're choosing from, what we have there, because we don't have a lot. We have to create opening batsmen from guys who have performed well in the measuring rod that we have, which is regional four-day cricket. So I don't believe that we had enough time to assess Chanapaul based on these three games mm-hmm. after not doing well mm-hmm. and then recently being dropped off the West Indies team. And we know that he has some technical issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have gone for somebody else.
Who would you gone for, Tony?
Well, you have Django.
Mm-hmm.
Right, who has opened the innings before, has recently played Test match cricket under real stress in Pakistan. The fact that we're going to India is similar to Pakistan. He has the ability to play spin. He's opened the innings against a new ball already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So somebody like that, we have to think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Right, mm-hmm. So somebody like that. Just to
mm-hmm.
We cannot reward a guy who has not performed well.
Mm. Would you have considered Craig Brathwaite, Tony?
Well, I said on a program that Basil Butcher Jr. was on before he was picked for the second test match, his under test match. I said that I wouldn't pick him.
Mm.
The perception is that we want to give him 100 test match.
Yes.
You don't play international sport like that in an emotional way.
Mm.
You have to modify. You have to understand what is going on. The nuances that he normally shows, he didn't show at all. So he was devoid of confidence. And you want your opening batsman to have confidence. So I wouldn't have picked him for the 100th test match.
Ooh.
But I would not have the perception that he has to retire. He has to get back to the drawing board and work hard at his technique, his game, and increase his confidence level before we insert him back into test match cricket.
Wait, well, so you think he may come back? I think it's the end of the road for Craig Brathwaite.
He's 32 years old, Andrew Mason.
Yeah,
you don't get rid of somebody like that. As Pollard rightly said, at 38, he becomes the best player in 2005 CPL. You don't get rid of a guy who's 32.
So Tony, are you saying to me that there's a possibility? Hold on, Tony. Are you saying there's a possibility that Craig Brathwaite will play for the West Indies again?
Yes, why not?
Mm.
Well, Andrew?
Yes, what do you think, Basil?
Sammy and Jamal Smith said the same thing.
Yes,
They haven't written a
but that's pregnant with diplomacy.
Well, that could be so, but
Well, we'll see.
But if you're going to pick Craig Brathwaite, I mean, then take him to India. I mean, give him what Craig Brathwaite.
Hold on.
But you can't take Chanderpaul.
Well, I agree with you.
The point I'm making is that if they are thinking about a Craig Brathwaite to play sometime in the future. And you know those pitches, Craig Brathwaite bats for quite a long time. So therefore, if I am looking at possibly playing Craig Brathwaite sometime in the future, I certainly would have taken him ahead of Chanderpaul. You agree with that, Basil?
No, I'm not going to take any of them.
Oh,
yes.
I'm going to look for somebody outside the box. I think that Craig Brathwaite needs to recuperate mentally and needs to improve his technique. Now, at this stage of his life, his technique is not going to be a Gordon Greenidge-like technique.
No.
We know that.
Right.
But it can improve with his approach to batting. I have found that when he approaches the game more positively, his technique is a lot better. So I agree with Basil Butcher Jr. that we're taking players based on roles. We have to understand the only way you beat the best opposition in the world in any sport is to be positive. And positive doesn't mean to say you're going to be dogged all of the time. You've got to be looking for runs. You've got to put pressure on bowlers.
Mm. Yes.
And I don't believe in this role playing that you have to have a balance between Campbell and somebody who's going to be stagnated.
All right. Okay. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts? We still got another 20 minutes. We're going to come back to this. There's no question about it. We got a call and then we're going to talk to Kobe Williams. I know and his dad, they've been holding for some time. We're going to talk them. Can we take a call before we go to Kobe? Yes, we can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, good night, Mr. Mason.
How are you? Hey, what's become of you? I was wondering where you were tonight.
Oh, man, I'm here, man. I just want to thank all you fellas. A little congratulations to the young people from Empire. Yeah, you know, you said 10 wickets or 12?
No, he took 13 in the match, 7 in the first, and 6 in the second. Beautiful off spin bowling.
Yeah, that's very good. I'm glad to hear that. I also Gladiola, probably 106 already.
No, Gladiola. I mean, they're not playing gladiators at all.
Somebody points is very good.
Oh no! Wildey's out front. Wildey's out front by 411 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
The big Gladiola.
You hear Mr. Thornhill yesterday? Apparently, Andy Boone was on yesterday discussing some matters that went on, and he started attack Linda Yard for something that Linda Yard said. But Mr. Turner had to tell him that you can't bring Linda because before he even gets a Linda, Linda thought after. How Mr. Boone could attack Mr. Yard when he thought without before? I feel that Mr. Boone should come on the air and apologize.
No, you can't say that. No, man, you come on these shows and make these kind of comments. You can't. Yeah, but you can't say that.
Mr. Mason?
Yeah, you can't say that.
Romney's senior batsman.
Yeah.
Sure, hope no get out.
No, you can say diplomatically that he's that.
Straight to Cocorne, he bought straight to Polly Hand. Why would you say, Edmar? Is the worst left-handed batsman you've ever had for me.
No.
I would tell anybody that.
All right.
I know where.
All right. Thanks.
I tell you the truth.
Thanks for your contribution. All right. Time is tight. We got another, 20 minutes left on the show. Kobe Williams playing for the Empire side. Well, of course, they're in Bank Hall. They call themselves the home of champions, although when you look at the last 15 or so years, they've not won the title of great deal, but it's a champion side. There's no question about that. They produce some of the greatest cricketers that we've ever produced, and it's always a pleasure. I love to go to Bank Hall. It's one of my favorite places to do cricket commentary, and I certainly enjoy Bank Hall. I was there to do the game, the BCA Youth up against Empire, and one who represented the Barbados under 15 team, Kobe Williams, picked up 7 wickets in the first innings and then 6 in the second to finish with match figures of 13 wickets for 81 runs. I thought it was important to have him on Mason and Guest for a couple of minutes tonight. Hello, Kobe. How are you? Kobe? K-O-B-E. Kobe, where are you?
Good night.
Hello,
good night.
Hello, good night. It seems as if he's somewhere in St. Andrew. Are you in St. Andrew, Kobe?
St. John.
St. John?
St. John.
Okay. All right. Talk to me.
Yes.
What's responsible for the success there? You bowl well? You must be quite a happy man.
To be honest, I was just trying to be as consistent as possible because I know that the young fellas can always try something. They can stay patient too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to hit the right spot all the time.
Yeah, you're right about that. In fact, you had a good battle there with young Tevian Newton. He got the 72 and I saw you tossing the ball. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you got him caught in bowl. You beat him in the flight.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talk to me about your journey, though. How old are you now?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old. All right. And you play for the Empire Club. You represented Barbados in under 15 cricket. Is that right?
Yes, under 15 and under 17 level.
Okay, I see. And when you played, who would have been your captain there on the 15 level?
Nathan Seeley.
Interesting enough. And Nathan Seeley was actually, isn't the same side because, in fact, he replaced you. And you bowl well. What about the conditions there at Bank Hall for against the BCA youth? You enjoy bowling that pitch at Bank Hall?
Yes. The Groundsman Denver, he prepares pitches that give everybody something. Fast bowlers enjoy it, batsmen enjoy it, and spinners enjoy it. So
it's a good
cricketing.
It's a good cricketing pitch. Would you rate this performance as your best in terms of? I mean, obviously in terms of figures, but you think you bowl better before and get less wickets?
Correct. I felt more better before in some matches and took less wickets, but this is in terms of numbers at this level is the best.
All right, no doubt about that. And you would have played for Corrigan Parry. That's a school that's produced some wonderful cricketers as well.
Yes, Corrigan Parry and St. Stephen's Permy.
You started since and you were the captain then, I'm told.
Yes, correct.
All right.
The captain CB. My last year.
All right. Okay. Why did you choose Empire? You could have maybe gone to Spartan, you could have gone to Carlton. Why did you go to Empire?
To be honest, when I was younger, it was just my father and I. We used to go bouncing around. Like, we went to like Banks at the time, Banks and Carlton, but nothing was really happening. And then we just ended up going at Empire. And from very young, I was just there doing tradongs and things from very young. Can't remember how old.
I see. Young. Okay, well, stick a pin. Your father's with us, Christopher Williams. I know he's a better photographer than a cricketer. Hello, Christopher. How are you? You must be very proud of your son. Christopher? You look like you're in St. Joseph. Christopher, where are you? Can't find my brother like red plastic bag. Where's Christopher? Is he muted?
Andrew, you had the man holding so long, the man may have fought.
I think he's fallen asleep. Christopher, have you fallen asleep? Chris? You think he's muted? I think he's muted. Okay.
He is muted, but he should still hear you.
Yeah, but Chris, you don't want to talk to me after a while? All right. It seems as if we don't have Chris. I know maybe you're going to help him. If Dr. Ford was here, Dr. Ford would say this. I'm looking at that button in the left-hand corner, some of that. You know? Dr. Ford, by the way, is in England. He's gone to visit his daughter. I'm talking about this business. All right. Christopher Williams is not with us. So, Kobe, we're going to come back to you. We're going to end it pretty soon because I know you're a very, very, very busy man. What's your next step? You're looking to, no doubt, play for Barbados?
Yes, my next step is just to keep on working hard and hopefully in the next few years I run the Barbados Pride set up for red ball and mainly red ball at first though.
Right. Yeah. Now, before you go, do you have a favorite cricketer at the international level?
Yes, my favorite cricketer is Nathan Lyon and I had the opportunity to bowl with him this year when he came to Barbados.
Okay. And of course, you know, he's an off spinner, you're an off spinner. So you chose him because he's an off-spinner, like yourself?
Correct. So I just try to watch and learn off of the best.
Okay. All right. All right. So do you want to make cricket a career or are you looking at other things?
It would be the priority to, firstly, I would like to become a professional cricketer. But right now I'm at school studying physical education, so I would still want to be in the field, no matter what sports.
Okay, so physical education, where are you studying exactly? Which?
Barbados Community College.
Oh, your community college. All right. Well, your dad is struggling. You need to teach your dad how to use Zoom.
He was the one that was telling me to make sure you're on, make sure you're on.
Can you imagine? And he's there struggling. He's got on red. Yeah,
he doesn't know how to mute himself.
He's got something wrong, Andrew, with his fingers.
So yeah. Yeah. He's in trouble.
He's
red his favorite color red, you know. He's a big supporter of the Prime Minister, I'm told. Talking about his business as usual.
And also TKR. I notice, Andrew, you're not touching on TKR.
No, we're going to do that. All right. Well,
this time?
No, not at all. We're going to do that. TKR, I mean, Colin Board was supposed to come. Do you know that they're right now at a reception with the Prime Minister?
Of course.
How come you were not invited, Tony?
No, I'm just looking on. I'm happy for them. Brilliant performance, right? Fluctuating fortunes during the course of the tournament, but they came right at the right time. Pollard was excellent at 38 years old. You have to exalt him and praise him for his efforts.
Russell, 37. Narayan, 37. Right. Hales, 36. Monroe, 38. Darren Bravo, 36. A team of old men.
At the start, Andrew, during commentary, Colin Murray and myself were commenting on that and saying, wow, it's the level of intensity they have to consistently go through at that age. But they showed that they were mentally ready and they were physically ready at the start to the finish. You had these older guys performing very well.
Yeah. Now, talk to me. Let's look at the finals. Where did Amazon Warriors go wrong in your view?
Well, I think that obviously they made the wrong decisions. Let me tell you something. The way the tournament is structured, the first team that makes it to the finals sits down for 4 or 5 days to wait. So the level of intensity cannot be maintained. And funnily enough, when you look at the TKR, they had to go through 2 additional games, then get into the finals. So they were mentally and physically sharp. I thought Guyana did the wrong thing by winning a toss and deciding to bat. I mean, in dry conditions, they should have looked to bowl first. And with the fact that TKR is excellent at chasing, in fact, most teams in the Caribbean, they need a score to really have them focus on concentrating for long periods to go after. So I thought that, the captain of the Guyana Amazon Warriors team made the wrong decision.
Oh, really?
Especially when it... Yeah, to bat first.
Oh,
especially
is that? Especially are you saying that in hindsight?
No. The game started at 8 o'clock.
Yes. Yes.
So the probability of June. I agree with you.
Exactly.
Higher.
Yeah.
No. So I don't understand why he decided.
Yeah, didn't make sense to me.
It didn't make sense.
And Tony, I don't think it's Tahir made that decision singularly. I think it's the setup made that decision. You know, you're going out and spin the toss. If you win, y'all already decide what you're going to do. And I mean, everyone, and then you look at the history at Providence, the team that usually bat first wins the game.
Bat second. Okay.
That wins the games because of the due factor and so on.
That's right.
I would add, I think Tahir made a couple tactical errors.
4 decisions,
One, when Narayan came in to bat and he bowled Moti in that over, I would have bowled Shamar Joseph. Mm-hmm. We all know Narayan don't like the short ball fast, right? And secondly, Trinidad obviously had a concerted effort. They were going to take down Tahir and Moti. They were not going to just push them around. If you remember, Tony, at the 10 over mark, Bravo is talking to Narayan and Hales. And Bravo, you could read his lips saying, they're not going to bowl Moti as long as Sunil here.
Okay.
Right? For the obvious reasons that, you know this whole matchup thing, lefty to lefty today. And he bogged there. And so that to me
But Basil, even if you have to defend 130, the aura of Sharma Joseph, we've seen it against Australia.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
We made a mistake, in my opinion, of not bowling him against England in the World Cup in St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. So we have but we have a guy with the aura of Sharma Joseph, the confidence level, the faith, the vitality that he presents that permeates into the rest of the team, spreads into the rest of the team, and you have 130 to defend. Yeah. And him bowling first up?
I think he bowled the 13th over, if my memory serves right.
He didn't bowl till after 10th.
Yeah, the 13th. Didn't make sense.
And then the matchup with a wrist spinner against Pollard.
Oh, no.
Was in tremendous form. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, those with two, a wet, soggy ball.
Those two overs, the over to Narine, 18 runs, the over Pollard, Tahir, 20 runs, that put the game out of Guyana's reach. Pollard's particularly, because after that over, Trinidad needed less than a run of ball.
Yes.
Yeah. So now all they could do is there was no stress. Although Guyana made it a little dodgy, getting a couple wickets, but Trinidad was in full control at that point.
Mm.
Yeah, but in addition to that, preceded that, would have been the timid nature of the batting of the Guyana Army
yes.
Warriors.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
They could have been rusty, but to me, Hetmyer and Shea Hope, who has been perhaps the most consistent batsman in the tournament, with the most runs, 491. At an average of just over 49. It's amazing that he went out there too timid. And it shows that a team that planned well, that was sharp mentally and physically and technically, and was specific in their planning, all the plans work and specific in the execution too. But the other team, on the other hand, was very timid, very frightened. They were in front of the home crowd. And in front of the home crowd seemed like it wasn't advantageous to them. It was more of a pressure for them in the final.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw two sides of the coin, the psychological strength that the TKR team has and the psychological weakness that came into play with the Guyana Amazon Warriors in a big final.
But Tony, please give credit to Hussein. That was a beauty Shea Hope got. It took a beauty to get rid of Shea Hope.
Mm.
He got a beauty. Mm-hmm. That was a beauty because he was looking for the ball. The line the ball was pitched, he looking at the ball would have been the one going with the arm. But when it hit, instead of going with the arm, it turned and missed the outside edge of the bat. Because he looked back, he was shocked.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you got to give Hussein credit. Because the way Shea Hope batted this entire tournament, you felt every time he walked to the wicket, there was expectation that he was going to make runs. And if you were going to get him, you had to do a good job. And Hussein produced the beauty at that time.
But if you're not putting pressure, I know the former bowler, if you're not putting pressure on the bowlers, they will produce balls like that. That's why I say, we're picking a team to go to India, we have to be offensive, intelligently so, and not allow, because you're going to get good deliveries.
Yes.
So you have to put pressure on, spinners like Akhil Hussain to push him back. But you're right in saying the arm ball is his normal ball, and the one that goes the other way is the trick.
Yes.
It was a brilliant delivery.
The way he was bamboozled, I was very surprised. So it told you that he wasn't ready for that ball. He was looking for something different.
Yep.
Yeah, indeed. Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you on, Mason. I guess you can hear the music in the background. We've got a sponsored program at 8 o'clock. But just let me know, for the last 2 weeks or so, I've been telling you about this incident there in Guyana. And Andrew, I've been contacted by Kevin and his agent. Am I in the process of taking instructions, listen to this very carefully, in terms of compensation for Kevin Wickham, process of taking those instructions. I will leave no stone. You hear that? Stone? What comes after that? I will leave no stone.
No stone unturned.
Indeed. All right. So I just want to confirm that, yes, indeed, that incident that took place in Guyana, one of our cricketers, Kevin Wickham, trapped there in, for over 18 hours, I'm told. And Michael Lashley. Michael Lashley, KC, is on the case. And yes, and he will certainly be doing what he can do. So there's going to be a case to answer. So we can confirm that on Mason and Guest. I just actually got the statement coming from Michael Lashley, KC, of course, who is the man who's going to be representing Kevin Wickham. Most unfortunate to be in an elevator for so long. Oh, my golly, I would have gotten nightmares. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming on the show. Thanks to Kobe Williams. Kobe, your job is to get your father to know to use Zoom. Thanks to you, of course, Mr. Gray. Thanks to Mr. Butcher. Thanks to all those who participated. Ryan Hines was brilliant. Shannon Henry, who's about to have some Akin Sawfish. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
They feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.